Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
It's still an active crime scene. As I mentioned, we have a number of agents on scene. We also are working closely with other federal agencies, our state partners, and our local police partners as well.
So that was the press conference that was held, the first press conference that was held on late Friday night. FBI Special Agent in Charge, Kevin Rohek, from the Pittsburgh field office, just announcing what we all knew had been true, that somebody had tried to take the life of the former president, the current leading candidate for the Republican nomination. Of course, he'll be nominated here at the end of this week. We are live from Milwaukee, reporting from the Republican National Convention. I'm Andrew McKay. I got former afternoon show host Bobby Rossi sitting here in the room with me, helping me produce things. And Bobby has been a fantastic help. In case you don't know, he has been with the station. He just couldn't do the time slot for his show, so he has stayed with the station. He's our program director still. Austin is back in the studio doing traffic, and David Wayne is in the news this morning. So, yeah, we got in last night, and we've been, getting ready for the convention here, and I'll tell you about that as we go through the morning. But the only news that matters ever since we got off the air last Friday was the fact that somebody decided to take it into their own hands to single-handedly kill a United States presidential candidate and a former president, something that, in case you haven't been paying a lot of attention to this over the weekend, has actually happened before, or the attempt has happened before. One of the things that surprised me is lots of questions when this first happened, of course. You know, how could this happen? How dare they? You know, what was the Secret Service doing? How does a guy with a gun get on a rooftop 450 feet away from the former president, let alone a candidate? I mean, either way should have been inconceivable. But how did that happen? But I also was wondering, had it ever happened before? Because I couldn't remember a time when a candidate had been the target of an assassination attempt. But that's because, you know, I didn't think about my history well enough. Bobby Kennedy is perhaps the most famous and obvious case of somebody who was a candidate, potentially a candidate, you know, I mean, he was a candidate, but, you know, potentially the presidential nominee. And he was, of course, killed. But Teddy Roosevelt had been shot. And interestingly, I don't know what to make of this, nothing really, but in 1912 in Milwaukee. Milwaukee was where Teddy Roosevelt was shot while campaigning to return to the White House. He had already served two terms as president, and he was running again, this time not as a Republican, but as a third-party candidate. And, of course, that was before the presidential term limits amendment to the Constitution went in place. And basically, Teddy Roosevelt's life was probably saved by a metal glasses case and some folded-up papers in his pocket. So he was not seriously hurt. He was wearing what you would call an early version of not a very effective bulletproof vest. But, you know, that saved his life, right? A guy named John Schrank was actually arrested and spent the remainder of his life in mental hospitals. So he survived, thankfully. And then George Wallace was another presidential candidate, Democratic, of course, a nomination that he was seeking in 1972. He was shot in Maryland, and that left him paralyzed from the waist down. And, Arthur Bremer was convicted in the shooting, sentenced to prison, sentenced, released in 2007, of all things. But in any case, this has actually happened several times before, and particularly when it came to Teddy Roosevelt, almost exactly this same scenario of a president out of office, you know, who was looking to return to the office, and he was shot but not killed, thank God. I tell you, the thing that I keep thinking about, and I know we all do, is just how fortunate we as a country are, and President Trump is, that this person was unable to get off good quality shots, and that he turned his head. When this news broke, the first thing we all cared about was that President Trump was okay. Every American cared that President Trump was okay. And I say that very deliberately because there are some people, and I have seen it on social media, who wanted to make comments about how they wished there had been a different outcome. And I will say it this way, they're not American. period. If you have anything other than relief that the president survived an assassination attempt, you're not an American. You don't believe in this system. You don't believe in this country. You don't believe in democracy. You believe in political violence. It's one thing to make jokes. I think everybody makes jokes. But when something like this actually happens, it's an entirely different matter. If you don't simply feel relief that a former president and a presidential candidate survived an assassination attempt. I mean, period. Like, there's no arguing over this. Well, you know, no. There's no alternate position. You felt relief, you expressed relief, or you're not an American. Regardless of who the candidate is. I mean, seriously, if that's you. And I will say this. If you didn't, you know, expressing relief is one thing. And, you know, we all have sinful thoughts. But if you didn't feel relief, man, I'm worried about you. Really, really seriously worried about you. And for the people that are actually expressing anything other than relief, like online or to your friends, I mean, go. Get out. You don't belong here. That's proof. You proved it to all of us. So back to the press conference, which, of course, we learned an awful lot about this. But Lieutenant Colonel George Bivens from the Pennsylvania State Police was giving kind of the rundown of the order of events.
The former president had come out and begun to speak shortly after 6 o'clock this evening. And within about 10 to 15 minutes, a number of sounds were heard, and it became apparent that shots were being fired in that direction. It was a chaotic scene. Law enforcement, I believe, acted heroically, quickly identifying and neutralizing the threat, as well as responding to assist the various victims.
Yeah, we've all seen, of course, the video of inside the event where the Secret Service agents and various armed personnel got right up on stage, got all around the president. They were, you know, watching over the crowd with their guns drawn, as is appropriate. The rooftop response is simultaneously amazing in a good way and amazing in a horrifying way. Because, of course, we all know that the countersnipers took him out almost immediately. He was able to get 5 or 6 shots off. I'm only going to play this for the sake of, if you haven't heard it, it's worth hearing. But this is what it sounded like when Trump was speaking.
And, you know, that's a little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old. And if you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened. Oh.
And then, of course, the Secret Service surround him. He's down. He's bleeding. He gets up. He pumps his fist. He says, fight, fight. They rush him off the stage. But the reason I wanted to play that for you is because when I first heard that, it sounded to me so muted that it had to be at a distance. It could not have been from inside the crowd. And it sounded so muted that I asked a couple of other people, I'm like, does that sound even like a 5.56, or does that sound more like just a .22 long rifle round? And, you know, kind of my first pass of asking people was, that just sounds like a .22. It's so quiet. Definitely suppressed, or at least it seemed like it, is what it sounded like. But then I asked some people who really know, and they said, no, that's a 5.56 or .223 from an AR-15, and at a distance, that's exactly what it would sound like. So 3 shots, and then 3 or 4, it's just hard to tell from the audio recording and the echoing effect that it, you know, 3 shots somewhat deliberately and then 3 shots or 4 shots a little bit more rapidly. And the only reason I say that is because understanding what took place on the rooftop is the other amazing thing. Crowd members had been pointing out to Secret Service that there was somebody up there. People outside apparently had also seen it and were trying to get the attention of security to take care of a guy on a roof at a presidential rally with a rifle. My God. And apparently, a police officer had actually been climbing up the roof, had climbed up there, looked over the edge. The would-be assassin pointed his rifle at him, and then he went back down off of the rooftop. Now, I want to be cautious about judging anybody in any of these situations. until you get all the facts. But you have a person dead, two people if seriously wounded, and the president almost killed but for he turned his head and the sniper was rushed. And possibly you had a cop up on the roof in a position to maybe do something who backed down off the roof when he saw the rifle get pointed at him. And how is yelling not happening? And how is alerting not happening? And how is he not on the radio with other personnel saying, hey, something's going on the roof. I'm climbing up there. Where are you at, other sniper? I mean, just... I don't know enough in an expert way to evaluate everything that happened. But my presumptive analysis of the incident is total incompetence that something like this could happen. I am willing to be persuaded that there are explanations that make sense, but just looking at it as a civilian, it's what the things we all think. How is a rooftop in this kind of proximity to a presidential rally not secure? Where are they looking if they're not looking at something like this? Now, again, I am fully willing to be persuaded that, nobody dropped the ball, that this is just, you can't protect from every threat. There's too much going on. There's too much to take care of. I am fully willing to accept that explanation if you give me evidence that that makes sense. But until I get that evidence, it looks like incompetence to me. Now, the response to shoot him so quickly, even after six shots, great. Okay? But how did you get in a position where that had to happen, given everything else we know about what led up to it? So, of course, there's an investigation. They're going to look into it, obviously, thoroughly. Even today, I think Congress is holding a hearing, I think, with the Secret Service in order to figure out what was going on. They have been saying all along that they're, it's too early to say. We don't know any details. We don't know any motives or anything like that about this would-be assassin. We just know that he's, a young 20-something-year-old registered Republican who donated to Democrats and, massive speculation, who had bombs in the car or had explosives in the car with him. Was this political? Was this anti-Trump? Was this, just want to do something horrific with my life? Am I mentally unstable? We don't know. Not yet. We don't know. Of course, the president came out and gave a very, very brief set of remarks on Friday. He then gave a more substantial set of remarks on Sunday morning during the day, in which he basically encouraged people not to assume anything.
We don't yet have any information about the motive of the shooter. We know who he is. I urge everyone, please, don't make assumptions about his motives or his affiliations. Let the FBI do their job and their partner agencies do their job.
Okay. I mean, I hear you. I agree. And I wouldn't. We don't want to do that. But he also said something that's kind of been his theme in responding to this.
My fellow Americans, I want to speak to you tonight about the need for us to lower the temperature in our politics. And to remember, while we may disagree, we are not enemies. We're neighbors, we're friends, co-workers, citizens, and most importantly, we're our fellow Americans. We must stand together.
I agree with you, sir. I hear you. But who are you addressing? Who are you telling to calm down? What's your target audience for that message?
You know, the political record in this country has gotten very heated. It's time to cool it down. We all have a responsibility to do that.
Here's why I asked that question. If you're talking to your supporters, your side, so to speak, it would be nice if you said that. I mean, a really self-aware assessment of this might have included, we have talked about President Trump as a threat to democracy. We have talked about President Trump as somebody on whom we're focusing our bullseye. He said that in remarks about a week prior. Now, they were private remarks. They were not much reported. So do you blame that on? No, I don't, honestly. But the Biden campaign itself has been the source of some pretty hot rhetoric about the threat to democracy that Donald Trump represents. And if you're going to say cool it down, lower the temperature, maybe a little bit of us too. We are worried about the future under Donald Trump. And we have said some things that we should not have said. We are responsible too. Because if he's not talking to his own supporters, then he's talking to the right. He's talking to Trump supporters. And then, logically, what it means is he's telling the supporters of the victim to calm down. The what now? You guys calm down? And listen, I agree with the message that everybody could learn to tone it down a little bit. But seriously, who's the target audience for this cool down message? Because if you're telling the victims' allies and the people who were the families of the supporters who go to the rallies and cheer and say USA and go Trump and all of that, I mean, you know, are those the people who need to cool it down? Now you're saying, because the implied underlying premise there is blaming the victim for the event. Or his supporters for the event. So, and there was a lot of that over the weekend. You know, Martha Raddatz and George Stephanopoulos back and forthing about, you know, look at all the violent things that Trump has said over the years. Careful. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. This is the Pensacola Morning News live from Milwaukee at the Republican National Convention. We'll be back.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues? Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle.
Good morning, 528 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. We are live in Milwaukee at the Republican National Convention. Well, technically at the hotel. We're hotel casting this morning. So we'll get into the convention later on today and bring you all the sights and sounds and smells and talk about the security, which is robust, by the way, in Milwaukee ahead of the convention. In the newsroom this morning with our headlines, David Wayne.
Well, good morning, Andrew. The FBI, of course, leading that probe into the assassination attempt on former President Trump. And over the weekend, they identified that gunman as 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks. Agents apparently searched the shooter's home overnight and found explosive materials. The FBI currently saying that he acted alone, but the motive still unclear there. Most of the news headlines revolving around this assassination attempt, of course, but A few other headlines I've found. In Birmingham, Alabama, police are searching for suspects in connection with a few shooting events over the weekend that resulted in the deaths of 7 people and wounded 10 others. Both of those shootings occurred on Saturday night, one at a birthday party, another was a drive-by shooting. And also seeing reports that in Texas, there are still hundreds of thousands of people with no power after Hurricane Beryl hit Texas last week. As of the last check, there's still almost 300,000 people with no electricity in Texas. CenterPoint Energy has restored power to about 1.9 million people since the storm hit, though.
All right, very good, David. By the way, David, you and Joe and Bobby did outstanding work on Saturday night, or on Friday, on Saturday, sorry, coming in and covering the event and talking about it and, you know, getting Congressman Gates on the line. So I really appreciated all of that local coverage that you guys did, especially, you know, given some of your past and experiences and perspective on all this. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Well,
absolutely. All right, we'll have Fox News coming up next. After that, we want to talk a little bit about the Blue Angels show that was on Saturday, and it was fantastic.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The RNC officially opens today, and former President Donald Trump is in Milwaukee after the assassination attempt at his Pennsylvania rally. Republican National Committee Chair Michael Whatley says programming will go on as planned.
Because it is tremendously important for the American people that we have a president who is going to restore our southern border, restore our economy, and restore our standing in the world.
President Biden urging the nation to bring the political temperature down in an Oval Office address.
A former president was shot, an American citizen killed, while simply exercising his freedom to support the candidate of his choosing. We cannot, we must not go down this road in America.
The gunman's motive is still a mystery. President Biden ordering an independent security review. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 79 degrees. It is cloudy this morning in Pensacola. 2 people in critical condition after crashing into a tree on North Green and West Gonzalez Streets over the weekend. Now, that happened on Saturday night. The driver, a 21-year-old Pensacola man, the passenger, a 43-year-old Pensacola woman. FHP says they are still investigating that crash. We got some reaction on Saturday night from Northwest Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz following that assassination attempt on former President Trump at a campaign rally.
I talked to members of the campaign team who were with him at the time of the shooting, and they have assured me of his safety, of his good spirits, but also of his, of his determination that this not define what we're trying to build for the country.
And Congressman Gaetz, of course, along with other Florida lawmakers, now on their way to Wisconsin for that Republican National Convention, which does begin today. Governor Ron DeSantis seems a bit skeptical that an investigation into the assassination attempt against Donald Trump is going to reveal a lot of information. The governor wrote yesterday on X that D.C. bureaucratic failures almost never result in accountability, but he does say this time it needs to be different. The governor said the investigation has to answer the question of how someone armed with a rifle was able to get on top of a roof only 150 yards from the stage. He says our country is in the peril it's in, partly because the D.C. ruling class has consistently evaded responsibility for its failures. The vice president's trip to Florida now on hold. Vice President Kamala Harris announced yesterday she's postponed an event she had planned tomorrow in Palm Beach County. She was planning to discuss abortion rights. Her office says plans changed after the shooting at the Trump rally in Pennsylvania on Saturday. And it is 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast for this morning.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We are going to have some pop-up showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. 60% chance of rain overall. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies with a high near 92. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 78. For Tuesday, a typical summertime pattern continues with a 50% chance of rain, high near 92. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, we do have cloudy skies, 79 degrees in Pensacola. It's 76 in Gulf Breeze, 79 right now in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock, we have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola, FM 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Your money now. Shares in Burberry plunged 10% today. After a disappointing first quarter performance, led it to replace its CEO and axe its dividend. Joshua Schulman, who formerly led Michael Kors and Coach, was named new chief executive officer of the luxury giant. Burberry said former CEO Jonathan Akeroyd was stepping down with immediate effect by mutual agreement with the board. The Wall Street Journal reports Google is in advanced talks to acquire cybersecurity firm Wiz for $23 billion. Wiz's cloud security offerings give executives and cybersecurity professionals insight into the company's full cloud presence, something appealing to large firms with significant computing resources. If completed, the deal would be Google's largest ever acquisition. Futures are moderately higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 247, the NASDAQ gained 115, and the S&P 500 up 30. That's your money now.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required.
You love your car or truck, right? We love it too. This is Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories. For a cooler summer and protections from harmful UV rays, we'll tint the windows. For safety and security, we have alarms, backup cameras, and dash cams. And for the most beautiful vehicle on the block, our full detailing service will make it look brand new. We have so many custom accessories, it's impossible to list them all here. So come see us at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories on Industrial Boulevard at W Street, just north of Marcus Point Baptist Church.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are all words you hear a lot about in today's world, but what do they mean? How do you get started? You can start by tuning into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 a.m. Join me, Lexi Mendoza, and I'll show you how to navigate the fast-growing landscape of digital advertising today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Rhode Island cast 19 votes.
Choosing the leader of our nation is more important than ever. It's important to you, so it's important to us. That's why Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay will be broadcasting live from the Republican National Convention. Hear the news first right here on News Radio Pensacola, direct from Milwaukee every morning. This RNC convention is poised to be one of the most important ever. Tune in each morning to hear Andrew McKay with all the newsmakers. Brought to you by Barbary Plumbing, Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, and DeFranco Gas Company. Saturday, July 13th.
Take a look at what happened.
An attempted assassination of former President Trump.
For those of you just tuning in here, the president was having a rally in Pennsylvania. He was just addressing a crowd, and when he winced and grabbed his ear, then he heard the shot and went down.
Out of all of the broadcast media in Pensacola, only one had full team coverage.
We do know that Donald Trump is fine.
News Radio Pensacola. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Good morning, 5:38 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay from Milwaukee. We are at the Republican National Convention, and this broadcast for the RNC is brought to you in part by Barberry Plumbing. Of course, on Saturday, we had, and Friday and Thursday, the Blue Angels flew over Pensacola. On Saturday was the full show. Delayed a little bit for the weather. Nobody cared by the time it was over because it was a spectacular performance. And, of course, the Blue Angels were fantastic. Even without seeing Fat Albert fly, it was just an amazing performance. On Thursday last week, I had a chance to go to the base.
Hey, why didn't Fat Albert fly?
I don't know. Probably because they were delayed and they didn't fly Friday either. Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I hadn't been out there for that, so I don't know the answer. I'll have to ask the PAO.
You had some sort of insight.
I may not yet.
All right.
I don't know. Maybe had to. Yeah. You know, I don't want to speculate. I don't know the answer. But of course, on Thursday, I had a chance to go out to the base to talk to the team and had a chance to do our very first ever interview with Lieutenant Commander Mandalee, the number 4 pilot.
So, Lieutenant Commander, first of all, congratulations on the promotion.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Tell us your story. How did you become a Blue Angel?
So I actually enlisted back in 2007. I was actually standing in Marcos's shoes here. Marcos is my crew chief on the Forjet. He's my 4 Bravo crew chief. We're actually flying together today for his reenlistment. So I'm very, very excited, looking forward to that. But I was in his shoes, and then I picked up a commissioning opportunity and commissioned, went back to college, and then ultimately picked up a pilot spot. Went through a junior officer tour, did a deployment, and then I instructed in the F-18, ultimately put a package in to apply to the Blue Angels and found myself here.
Is it kind of unusual for Mustang to be a pilot for the Blues? I mean, it's a great story.
There's been a handful of Mustangs, so I'm not the first Mustang on the flying in the Delta. But, yeah, it's an incredible opportunity. And overall, the Navy in general has so many great opportunities, and I think that's what I love about it.
How has life changed since the movie came out?
Honestly, it feels really normal. We are a squadron by definition, the Navy Flight Demonstration Squadron, so it feels like just any fleet squadron, being a part of a team, and the most incredible team in the world, I have to add.
Boss says that he had to take a little getting used to getting recognized in his civvies. Did you have that?
Once the Amazon movie came out, for sure, I was recognized in civilian clothes, which is unusual. Usually just with the blue flight suit, people will recognize me, but that certainly takes a little bit of getting used to.
How about the level of attention that you've gotten as being the first female jet pilot? Did that surprise you? Were you prepared for it?
The public affairs team does an incredible job with our media. They did a really great job of allowing me to learn my job last year and kind of sheltering me, so to speak, just so I could pay attention to the safety and putting on the best flight demonstration. Stepping outside of that this year, it's been really great to talk to all the media personnel and kind of tell my story. And ultimately, it doesn't feel like so much attention on me. Just kind of focus on the people in front of you. Give people the best attention that you can and try to continue to inspire people.
How's it been moving from the wing to the slot? That's a pretty big responsibility.
I think everybody that has moved into the slot position has always said it's the best view in the house. You get to look forward, you get to look around, and you also get to swing fly. So I've had the opportunity to fly in every single position, find Boss's position in the flight demonstration, and it's an incredible challenge. It's an incredible honor, and I'm loving it.
Do you ever regret not being a solo?
I do not. Diamonds are forever. Everything happens for a reason.
I was going to say, just obviously a lot of excitement about the air show on our end and the whole community. What does that feel like for you guys coming back to Pensacola for the show?
Pensacola Beach Week is iconic. It really marks halfway through our season. It's also the week where we select next year's team. So for us, it's a busy week and something that it is very iconic and markedly an important part of our season and for the community. We love going down to the beach and flying over the water. It's beautiful. It's great flying. The air is always smooth. And there are thousands and thousands of people out there that I go look at and kind of wave to and say hi. So it's awesome and it's an honor.
What's your favorite part of being able to come back to Pensacola Beach, fly over? Of course, everybody was excited to see you guys yesterday for Breakfast with the Blues. What's been your favorite part?
I love being able to see Pensacola from a different view. It's kind of a different the Pensacola community really supports us and the Blue Angels here in the local community, and it's really great to be able to get down to Pensacola Beach. Obviously, we practice Tuesday through Wednesday usually during the season, then we have end of season show here at NAS Pensacola, and it's really great to be able to pick up and move a couple miles down the road and be able to perform for the folks of the community that have given us so much.
Do you have family here in town?
I do not.
Okay. And I was kind of curious, I was reading some of your bio, you were an athlete in high school, and of course, this is a very physically demanding activity. What's the level of conditioning like from being an athlete, then in multiple sports, and you know, being a Blue Angels pilot for the last 2 years?
Yeah, I think it certainly helps with the
level of dedication the reps and sets that you kind of see in most sports. But overall, it's just the teamwork and being a part of a team that you will see being in sports or anything that requires teamwork. This is a little bit next level. I kind of associate this with pro athlete type teamwork and type of a team and how we operate. We're very close-knit. We're a big family, and we couldn't do our job without every single person on this team.
I think for some people, they think of you as kind of a symbol, you know, being the first female jet pilot. Is that a role you like? Does it surprise you? How do you feel about that, if you have any feeling about it?
Well, when I talk to people at Crowdline, I always tell them, look, we're just normal people, but it is not lost on me what it's like to see somebody that looks like you in a position that maybe you never thought a possibility. So it is an honor to be able to represent and be an inspiration to so many people.
Do you ever get tired of being asked about that? Because I got to assume every single interview that you've done, people have asked you about that.
No, absolutely not. It's awesome.
You mentioned flying pretty much in every spot except bosses. You know, what is the most challenging part about it?
Right side. So the two in the sixth spot, they fly over on the right side, and that is something that I just am not very comfortable with. I'm obviously left wing is my baby. That's what I did all last year, so I'm comfortable over on the left side, and that's my biggest challenge. If somebody over on the right side falls out, I just kind of, well, here we go, and do the best you can to put on the best flight demonstration you can.
Go ahead,
Ben. In the movie, one of the possible commanders was a female pilot. How much longer do you think it'll take before the boss is a female, and what would that mean to you?
Well, there's not a lot of females in the F-18 strike fighter community, so it would be incredible to see some more females come through, but ultimately the team does a really great job of hiring the right person for the job. It sometimes just takes the interest to say, hey, that's something I want to do, and for that specific person, it just requires that initiative to apply to the team because anything's possible.
Call sign Stalin. Story?
Yeah, we'll have to get it to sit down over a beer for a drink.
Perfectly acceptable. I understand. No worries. Do you have you started thinking at all about how? I mean, as much work as it is, and how fast it's been, that it's almost over. I mean, you've got just a couple of months left, and then it'll be homecoming show, and it'll be off to your. Are you retiring, or are you moving on and up?
Nope, I'm going on to a department head tour. I'm actually going back up to Oceania for another fleet tour and probably multiple deployments. I may or may not retire after that. I will be at 20 after that, so we'll kind of reevaluate and do one tour at a time.
And as far as thinking about how, you know, this is sort of on its way to coming towards a close, feelings about that?
You know, asking me that today, I'd be incredibly sad to leave the team tomorrow. I think I will certainly feel that way at end of season. It's a bittersweet kind of ending. It's been an incredible tour for anybody that's here, and it goes by in the blink of an eye. And everybody tells you when you join the team, hey, enjoy it while it's here because it's going to be over so, so quick. And I knew that going into it. I knew this was going to be incredible, but it has gone by too fast. And I just got to kind of step back and stop looking through the soda straw and appreciate what you have and the team that you work with, the family that you've built.
When you go back to your squadron, or if you've worked with a Blue Angel in the past when you were not a Blue Angel, is there any, like, how does that go? Like, is there Blue Angel, having a Blue Angel in your squadron, like, oh, the bumps up the level of work ethic, or how does it make a difference?
Yeah, so you'll hear our narrator say in our flight demonstration that we execute the same tactics that we do in the fleet. So ultimately, going back to the fleet, I'm just kind of getting back into the tactics. We're doing what we do, but at very low altitudes and higher speeds down here. A little bit of refresh and study on my part to make myself another appropriate member of a team. I'm a little bit behind on the education piece because things changed quite a bit, especially since I've been gone. So I think it's just going to be me stepping up to be a part of that different team once I step out of this team.
What's been the demands of the season so far, and how are you guys handling that?
Yeah, I think the most demanding part is not the flying and not the people, but the traveling can always take a toll on your body. You'll always hear that we're on the road more than 300 days a year, and that is for sure demanding physically and mentally on the body. So it's just kind of up to each individual to kind of take a step back and do what you need to do to recover and recoup from the demanding travel schedule.
What do you tell a daughter? What do you tell somebody who's looking at the sky right now and looks at you and goes, I can do that too? What do you tell a young woman who's like, I want to be her?
Yeah, just for everybody in general who has a passion to fly or even just comes out and sees a flight demonstration and it inspires them to maybe want to go fly, I'll really tell anybody to step outside of your comfort zone, do things that scare you, because you'll always be surprised at what you can do.
What have you found the most challenging about being on the team? Anything?
The double Farrell is always challenging. It's one that I will continue to try to perfect until my last flight on the team, but it's one of the most fun maneuvers for me to fly this year.
We learned a lot about you and really the whole team in the recent IMAX documentary. Where are you at in the diamond formation right now?
Right now we are in blue gold.
And how does that feel for you?
It's incredible. It's definitely a different perspective in this four spot because we are the safety observer, making sure that everything's going well back there. The team overall is doing incredible in our progression this year, and I look forward to continue to take it in as the season progresses.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Because we're a little bit late to the party, if I'm not messing up anybody.
Have you always been a trailblazer? Like, have you had an attitude to life? I'm just going to do what nobody has done before. Or did this just sort of evolve and you look back and go, oh, I guess I'm in this role that maybe I didn't cast myself in? Not necessarily a trailblazer, but I will look at something like, I want to try that, and then I go try it. So aviation wasn't inherently something in my path. If you were to ask me when I was a kid that if I wanted to be flying when I was older, I would say no. I wanted to do something in the medical field. If you would have asked me even a couple years ago, hey, you're going to be a Blue Angel flying, I'd be like, you're crazy. But it's just something that you see and you find a passion for and you say, I want to try that. And kind of, like I said, step outside your comfort zone and challenge yourself.
You said after your next thing you're going to reevaluate, but when I say Commander Lee, when I say Captain Lee, when I say Admiral Lee, where do you get excited and where do you start to get like, oh, man, no?
I would say never say never. Maybe there could be the first true seaman to admiral. That's the commissioning program I went to. I came in as an E1, and potentially you never know. You never know.
That was a really good analogy.
Is it always like this? I mean, it's, you know.
Like I said, I try to give my best attention to the people right in front of me. I think sometimes it can get a little overwhelming to take a peek overhead. So I just do my best to give people the best attention I can who are right in front of me.
Well, you definitely have for us. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And by the way, the thing she was reacting to is Mel McRae, our co-host on the Cat Pack Morning Show on Cat Country 98.7, I was doing the interview with two other people the whole time, and then when we were wrapping up in the last couple of minutes, several other media folks had joined and kind of crowded in, and it grew from three to about 12 all of a sudden. And Mel had made the comment, do you ever feel like a Cheeto on the beach with the seagulls? She said, yeah, all the time. So, and I, you know, it's kind of, you can't see it, but you could hear it just a little bit when I was asking her the question about promoting to captain or admiral or anything else. And also the question that Brent Lane, you heard his voice as well, asking her about little girls. You know, she just smiles. Her face lights up when she's thinking about some of these things that make her laugh. And I mean, she's just, as they all are, she's a person. You know, and I know we kind of think of these Blue Angel pilots as, I don't know, you think of them as, you know, maybe this role, but, you know, they're all people, they have families, they have likes and dislikes and, you know, personal challenges and personal accomplishments. And that's just, you know, that's one of the things I've loved about getting to know so many of them over the years is, you know, they're great quality people, but they are at root, you know, people. And it's always important to remember that as well. 5:52 here on News Radio Pensacola. I am in Milwaukee. Got in here yesterday, flew to Chicago out of Pensacola. By the way, side note, kudos to TSA at Pensacola. They were excellent yesterday. Got us through. The line was all the way back to the top of the escalator. Not quite to the top of the escalator, but close there. You know, when you go to the top of the escalator and turn right and there's like the maze was full. And I was like, oh, I wonder how long this is going to take. And I had prepared 2 hours, so I was plenty of time. And 16 minutes later, I had my bag and was walking down the terminal, and I thought, oh, that was super efficient. They were very courteous, and everything went well. So I just wanted to, you know, give a note. We sometimes hear, you know, the wait times and the bad things, and as DC likes to mention, you know, well, that was the one bad moment. Well, okay, they had a really good moment as well. And, you know, I experienced, it's for very high volume after the Pensacola Beach Air Show, by the way, the terminal was packed. very few seats available. So they did great with the high volume that we're experiencing. Again, live from the RNC here in Milwaukee, I'm Andrew McKay with the Pensacola Morning News.
So I always say that Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community, and if you didn't know me, you might think I just use words lightly, but I really don't. I mean, as a philosopher, I use words very deliberately and mean the words that I use, and so when I say they serve, I mean that. For example, if you go to Frontier, when you look at a car, you're going to get a price sheet and you're going to get a Carfax, and a Carfax is a great resource. It's not the end-all be-all of everything about the maintenance and service history for the car, because it kind of depends on voluntary reporting. That's why I recommend you get a good used vehicle inspection from a mechanic you trust, but you get it from Frontier. But if you don't go to Frontier, like you go to, you know, Jim Bob's corner lot somewhere and you're going to buy a car and they don't give you a Carfax, or like off of, you know, Facebook Marketplace or something, no problem. Take the VIN, give it to Frontier. Frontier will run a Carfax for you for free. Why? Because they can, because it helps, because it's nice, because it's being a good neighbor, because why not? And so when I say that they have been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
How long could your business function without email? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. Three Gulf Coast businesses had their email shut down for 2 days because one employee clicked a spam email link. Be suspicious of any unsolicited email offers, especially if they are too good to be true. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us Wednesday on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. It's hot in the summer, but you can bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Pensacola's own On the Rocks takes all your musical favorites, shakes it up, twists it, then adds their own unique and special flavors, and serves it to you on the rocks. Brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority tomorrow night.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
This site here over the next 4 days after his life was nearly taken yesterday in Pennsylvania.
So this event has been designated as a national special security event, which is the highest level of security for an event that can be designated by the government. So this is a whole of government approach. We've had an extensive planning process to include many organizations building out the operational security plans for any and all aspects of security related to this event.
Have you had the resources you need?
Yes, we are fully prepared and have a comprehensive security plan in place, and we're ready to go.
I know some people were surprised by the answer that the Secret Service, that was Audrey Gibson Cachino, U.S. Secret Service event coordinator for the RNC, gave on this several times, saying this is, we're at 100%. There's no increase we could apply, which actually that answer makes sense to me. There's nothing more they could do to make it more secure than it is. And so why would there be an increase of anything since the assassination attempt on Saturday? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Republicans from across the country are headed your direction towards Milwaukee to officially nominate Donald Trump for the presidency. Also, we're seeing another headline here. Actress Shannon Doherty has passed away. She was known for her roles in Beverly Hills 90210 and Charmed. She died after a battle with cancer at the age of 53.
Yeah, big losses this weekend from Ruth Westheimer to Shelley Long to Richard Simmons. And then we just got word yesterday that Shannon Doherty had passed away at the young age of 53, losing her 10-year battle against cancer. So, yeah, sad weekend.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.